We seek His help and we seek His divine aid. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides, there is none who can lead him astray. And whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allows to go astray, indeed there is none who can guide him aright. I testify that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, Rabbil Alameen. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave, his messenger, and the seal of all the prophets. After what proceeds, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, this is the beginning of the intensive studies course for today. And today is the Monday class, which is always advanced studies of Islam. And Alhamdulillah, last week we went over the Quran. The Quran as a means of increasing Iman. And Alhamdulillah, we're going over the text concerning what increases and decreases Iman, or what increases and decreases faith. So first we went over Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the advanced studies of Islam concerning the increase and the decrease of Iman. And Alhamdulillah, last week when we went over what the Quran does for a person's faith. And last week we went over the ayat concerning what Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala had to say about His book. And we went over some texts from Ibn Qayyum rahimahullah concerning the tasting of the sweetness of Iman, the sweetness of faith. So this week inshallah ta'ala we will continue the Quran as a means of increase of faith, or a means of increase of Iman, to teach ourselves concerning what the Quran does for our faith. So we start with the text. The Shaykh rahimahullah, he said, the Quran is worship, and it is not to be done in a state of heedlessness. And Allah is the one who grants the tawfiq towards that. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the generous, orders His servants and encourages them to ponder over the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quote, do they not then contemplate on the Quran? Had it been from other than Allah, they would surely found therein much contradiction, end quote. Surah An-Nisa, verse 82. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, quote, do they not then contemplate on the Quran? And are their locks on their heart, or are their locks on their hearts? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us from the lock of the heart. Ameen. Allah also proclaims that He only revealed the Quran so that its ayat will be pondered over. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse, this is a book that we have sent down to you, referring to Muhammad alayhi salam, full of blessings, so that they may ponder over its ayat, and that those of understanding may remember. In quote, Surah Sad, chapter 38, verse 29. And the Shaykh, he gave his commentary, Allah also explains that the reason behind the lack of guidance for the one who deviates from the straight path is his disregard for reflecting on the Quran and being too proud to listen to it. Allah states, quote, indeed my ayat used to be recited to you, but you used to turn your back on your heels in pride. You talked evil about it throughout the night. Have they not pondered over the word, i.e. the Quran, or has there come to them that which has not come to their fathers of old? End quote. And this is Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse 66 and 68. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions of the Quran that it increases the believers in Iman if they read it and contemplate over its ayat, over its signs, its lessons, its proofs, its verses, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, quote, the believers are none other than those whose heart feel fear when Allah is mentioned. When his ayat are recited to them, they increase them in Iman, and upon their Lord do they rely. So the believers, when they hear the ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it increases their Iman. It increases their faith. Allah Azza wa Jal has made the Quran as the ultimate source of increase of Iman and stability of Iman. Allah Azza wa Jal has said that the believers, they put their trust in Him. They put their trust in their Lord. Allah relates about the righteous amongst the Ahl al-Kitab, that when the Quran is recited to them, they fall upon their faces in humble prostration and in a state weeping, and that it increases them in humility and Iman and submission. Allah Azza wa Jal, He says, quote, say, referring to Muhammad alayhi salam, believe in it, i.e. the Quran, or do not believe. Verily, those who are given the knowledge before it, when it is recited to them, they fall upon their faces in humble prostration, and they say, quote, how perfect is our Lord. Truly, the promise of our Lord will be fulfilled. End quote. They fall upon their faces, weeping, and it adds to their humility. End quote. So Allah Azza wa Jal is giving you the remedy for you to produce humility or khushu', right? Allah has given you the ingredients of khushu'. Allah has given you the ingredients of Iman. What builds Iman, right? What builds good deeds, right? What enables you to enter into the Jannah, to provoke the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? He also, subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he were to send down the glorious Qur'an upon a mountain. Okay, now let us just reflect on the mountain. What is the tallest mountain? Is Mount Everest or something like that? It's like 2 miles high or something like that. 5 miles. Allah knows best. But those great huge mountains, and you have all those crazy people climbing, spending weeks just to get on top, and they're in shorts in the winter time, and they're freezing, and he's cold, but he has a rush that he's going to get to the top, right? This mountain, this such a great creation of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, if he were to send the Quran upon a mountain, had we set down this Qur'an upon a mountain, you would have surely seen it humbling itself and rending asunder out of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such are the parables that we put forth to mankind that he may reflect. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, he teaches us by parables. He teaches us by parables so that we can remember, so that we can reflect, so we can receive it, monetization, right? He describes the Quran as the best of speech, parts of it resembling other parts. he repeated some of it so that it would be understood. He mentions that the skins of those who are righteous shiver in fear and hope that they will hear the when they hear the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quote, Allah set down the best speech, a book, its parts resembling each other in goodness and in truth, often repeated. The skins of those who fear their Lord shiver from it. Thereafter, their skins and hearts soften to the remembrance of Allah. Okay? That is the guidance of Allah. He guides with it whom He pleases, and whomsoever and whoever Allah sends astray, He has no guidance whatsoever. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us guidance and guide us along the path that is straight. Oh Allah, we beg you for guidance. Oh Allah, we beg you for guidance. Oh Allah, we beg you for guidance. Allah censures the believers for their lack of humility when listening to the Quran, and He causes them not to resemble the disbelievers in this regard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, quote, has not the time for the hearts of those who believe to be affected by Allah's reminder and of the truth that has been revealed. And be not like those who are given the book before, whereby the term was lengthened for them, and their hearts became hard, and many of them were rebellious. End quote. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about the people who passed before us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's reminder or the revelation came to the people, and they did not benefit from the revelation that Allah Azza wa Jal has set down to the people. So Allah said that their hearts became hard, and many of them were rebellious. May Allah protect this from happening with the nation of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. These aforementioned ayat contain the clearest indication of the importance of the Quran, the required attention that has to be paid to it, its powerful effect upon the hearts, and that it is the greatest manner of increase of iman. It is the greatest matter that increases iman, especially if the recitation is performed upon contemplation, reflection, and on trying to understand its meaning. Ibn Qayyum, rahimahullah, he says, quote, in short, there is nothing more beneficial for the heart than reading the Quran with contemplation and reflection. The Quran encompasses all the levels of the travelers, the conditions of the workers, and the stations of those possessing knowledge. It is the Quran that generates love, desire, fear, hope, repentance, reliance, pleasure, entrustment, gratitude, patience, and the rest of the different states that are life to the heart and the perfection of it. Likewise, it, i.e. the Quran, repels all the rebuked characteristics and actions that cause the corruption and the ruin of the heart. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cause the Quran to be the means of our salvation. Ameen. If people were to possess a realization of what recitation of the Quran with contemplation contains, they would devote themselves to it at the expense of everything else. When the person reads it with reflection and he comes across an ayah that he is in need of for the cure of his heart, he repeats it, even if he does so 100 times or the whole night. Hence, to recite a single ayah of the Quran with contemplation and reflection is better than reciting the Quran with completion without contemplation or reflection. It is also more beneficial for the heart and more conducive to attaining iman and tasting the sweetness of the Quran. And one of the Salaf, he said, quote, know that the strength of religion and the increase of iman and certainty does not come about except by reading the Quran very often and listening to it upon contemplation with the intention of being guided by it, and to act on its commands and to refrain from its prohibitions. The correct and submissive iman increases, strengthens, develops, and its effects, such as righteous actions and abandonment of disobedience and corruption, all arise in proportion to the contemplation of the Quran. It also decreases and weakens the proportion to not contemplating on the Quran. So in essence, the Quran, your contemplation on the Quran, your reflection on the Quran, you're taking the time, setting aside a portion of the day to recite the Quran, to contemplate of the Quran, to reflect of the Quran. It is better than spending a whole day reciting up and down and out and out without reflection, or to recite it just so the people would say, he's a beautiful reciter. Oh, mashallah, he's a beautiful reciter. But all of this you're reciting, you don't get nothing from the Quran because it doesn't show from your limbs. The Quran was set down for us to produce or to harvest good deeds. It was not set down for us to gain reputation and honor. Allah Azza wa Jal, he said, quote, and those who disbelieve say, do not listen to the Quran and make noise in its midst, so that you may overcome its recitation. So if a person, if you're listening to the Quran, and you hear the Quran, and you talk in front of the Quran, or you're not respecting the Quran, or you're just making, having the Quran play as something as music, then this is resembling those of those who disbelieve. It has been affirmed on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he said, quote, verily Allah raises up a people by this book, and he abases others by it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives honor to a people by the Quran, and he abases people by the Quran. The Quran is either pushing you to Jannah or pushing you to the fire. The Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, filled it full of blessings. All of the Quran is full of barakah. All of the Quran has in it shifa. It has healing, right? It has a spiritual healing for the fitna of the heart, for khaybar, for hasid, right? For all of the diseases of the heart, the Quran has within inside of it its remedy. And the Quran is either a proof for you or against you. So it is a proof for you, and it increases your iman if you act by it, or it is a proof against you, and it decreases your iman if you neglect it and do not observe its boundaries. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us all obedient to Him. Ameen. One of the Salaf, he said, quote, not a single person sits down with this Quran except that he then rises with either some increase or decrease. Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, says in clarifying the meaning of contemplation of the Quran, quote, however, by Allah, it is not memorizing its letters and neglecting its boundaries, to the extent that one of them says, I recited the whole Quran, and did not miss out a single letter. And by Allah, he missed out the whole of the Qur'an. No Qur'an is seen in his character or his deeds. To the point that one of them says, quote, "Verily I can recite a surah with a single breath." By Allah, these are not reciters or scholars. They are not wise or pious. Whatever the reciters are of this type, may Allah not increase their like amongst the people, end quote. And this quotation was from Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah. Hence, the Muslim must learn how to derive benefit from the Qur'an. We have to, as believers, we have to learn how to taste the sweetness of the Qur'an. We learn how to get the dunya. We learn how to make money. We learn how to milk the milk from the cow. We learn how to get what we want in life, but we don't learn how to taste the sweetness of the Qur'an. This is a job that has to, and that requires focus. It requires enthusiasm. It requires dedication. It requires belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It requires a fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to want to derive the benefit from the Qur'an, to taste the sweetness of the Qur'an, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Sahaba, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them, what books did they have? What scholars did they have? What books did they have? They didn't have Tafsir ibn Kathir, they didn't have Sahih al-Bukhari, they didn't have Sahih al-Muslim. They had Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his whole character came from the Qur'an. The best of people. Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his character was the Qur'an. He didn't have books from so-and-so, this from so-and-so, the encyclopedia of so-and-so. No, he had the revelation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Qur'an. And the Sahaba, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with them, they treated the Qur'an totally different how we treat it. Totally different. We have it on the shelf. Some of us have it laying in their backpack and they haven't picked their backpack up. Some of them have it on the sink. Some of them have it in the bathroom. Right? Some of them have it all over the place. What did it take for this Qur'an to be compiled? What struggle, what effort? How much ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in this one book? So how we treat the Qur'an determines our knowledge. It determines our gratefulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How a person treats the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a mirror for what's in his heart. So inshallah ta'ala, I hope that we're going to stop here. I have a lot more text, but I hope that inshallah ta'ala the people benefited from this, from the virtues of the Qur'an, and that we all go home today and we will read the Qur'an. We will set a time, we will set aside a special time to reflect on the Qur'an that was sent to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That we will look at the Qur'an with a different eye. That we will look at the Qur'an and try to derive its benefit. Wa jazakum Allah khair. Barakallahu fikum. Subhanakallahu wa ta'ala.